One of the things that we notice in the book of Acts is how the early church grew. In Acts 1:15, we discover that there are about 120 believers. This is before the Holy Spirit came and blew through the place. It says in Acts 1:15 that Peter stood among the believers, and together the crowd numbered about 120 persons. Well, the story continues with more people joining this emerging community after the Spirit came. And in Acts 2, we read that those who welcomed Peter's message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And in Acts 4, it says, many of those who heard the word believed, and they numbered about 5,000. You know, each time that Scripture tells us that this large number was added to this emerging early church, it comes right after Peter preaches a sermon. And I think we're really tempted to think that once Peter and the others were filled with the Holy Spirit, that their words had power, and that their preaching was the cause of growth in this early church. And really, much of the evangelical church has put emphasis on preaching as a result. Preaching becomes the kind of the center, core piece of the evangelical church movement. And it's often seen as this persuasive teaching about how to become a believer. And it often comes really at the center of worship gatherings. But I want to pause and look a bit more closely at this. In Acts 2, we see that the Holy Spirit comes in Pentecost with a sound like wind, tongues of fire, speaking in languages. And it says that at that sound, the crowd was bewildered. Amazed and astonished, they asked questions. And then a bit later, all were amazed and perplexed and said to one another, "What does this mean?" It was then that Peter stood and shared the answer, told about the mystery of what was happening among them. And as a result, 3,000 people were added to the 120 that we find in Acts 1. In Acts 3, we see Peter and John entering into the temple to pray, and there is a man there begging. And Peter and John say, "Silver or gold, we don't have, but that which we do have, we will give you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he is healed. And all the people that were there recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. It was then that Peter stood and explained the mystery of what had happened. And as a result, 5,000 people were added to this group of early believers. So we begin to see a pattern. It isn't the words that Peter spoke that drew the crowds. Crowds gathered as they saw the wonder of God manifest among them. Peter simply named it. He named what was happening and gave it context. So he named the wonder and said, "This is God at work. This is God at work in your midst." You know, the truth is that I, for one, am really tempted to think that my words are persuasive and create the wonder. And if I just can find the right words, I can convince you of the wonder and of the miracle that is present among us. But I realize that it isn't my words that create the miracle of wonder, but God. And rather, my task is to simply name the wonder and name the source as from God. You know, the wonder of God is all around us. Whether it's in creation or in the myriad of God stories, we've heard some of those this morning about how God is at work among us. And I really think it's important to name how God is at work among us. First of all, for ourselves. You know, if we don't name the miracle of God, the wonder of God in our midst, it's really easy to pass it off as ordinary and to forget that it ever happened. Oh, it was just another day in the life of Lorraine Watson. And we discount the value of it. We need to remind ourselves of how God works in our lives and all around us, and to name that truth. We also need to name it so that we can bear witness to others of the miracle we see. We all need to hear the stories of others because they encourage us. When I hear your stories, I take encouragement that God is with me as well. And I carry those, all of those stories. It's like I carry a basket load of our stories around saying, yeah, God, you were there for these other people, and I'm believing that you're going to be there for me again in this situation, whatever it is. And I need others to remind me that God really, truly does care about me and invite me to notice all the little places where God takes care of me. All the myriad of times that God said, did you hear that? Did you see that? Look at this. All the places that God is present. And when I'm tempted not to notice, then others call me back to the truth and invite me to notice again. In an email that I sent out to those of us that are regular attenders here at North Seattle Friends, I named the wonder of what happened last Sunday. There was a small group. A number of us had to be gone for a wide variety of reasons, and so there was a small group that gathered. But God had big work for us to do as we gathered. I never got around to sharing a message because God was speaking to us and we had so many things to pray for and people to pray for. It was a powerful time of God's presence being with us and speaking directly to our spirits. We prayed for several of you that weren't here, as well as praying for needs that rose in the community as we gathered together. I didn't want all of you to miss it and to wanted you to know about it. But I think more than that, I wanted to name that it was a miracle of God's presence among us, and that it was powerful and that it was enough. Notice what happened then as God gathered first 12 disciples, then 120, then 3,000, and 5,000 and more. You know, Jesus chose 12 men to be disciples that spent time with him. They walked throughout Israel-Palestine. They worked together. They shared life together. They did everything together. But in Luke 8, we read that there were other men and women that traveled with them as well, that helped to meet their needs and to be a part of this entourage that did ministry with Jesus. In the end of Acts 2 and 4, we see that God gathered them into a community. They weren't just isolated believers. People who saw the wonder of God and believed and went home by themselves, living the sense of American individualism and I can do this, I am strong, I can do it all by myself, and I don't need anyone else. No, God gathered them into amazing communities. And the hallmark of these communities was their love for one another. You know, why do you think the church grew so fast in the first century? It wasn't the sermons or the Bible studies. It wasn't the worship or the home fellowships or the things that they did. It was the way they loved each other. You remember Jesus' command to love one another. In fact, and as I said in the scripture at the beginning of worship, he said, that's how people will know that you are my disciples, by your love for each other. not by which side of the political fence you're on, or not by all these other ideologies or your theological understandings, your ability to quote scripture, or we could probably name a long list of how can you tell that a Christian is a Christian and what do we expect, but that we are to be known by our love. And in fact, the early church is doing it. They are loving one another. And they responded to people around them and loved them, reached out just like Peter and John to this man begging at the gate. They didn't always get it right. Some struggled, others lied. They had to figure it out. But the overarching way of being together was to love and care for one another. And so even in the times when we don't understand how and we don't get it right, to keep listening and keep trusting and keep loving. You know, there's no prescription for how to do community. A certain way of organizing ourselves that has to look like this. What matters really is that we gather with each other and love each other. That we name and follow the wonder of God among us. And that we find as a community our own way of expressing what it means to be the community of the people of God. That we listen together and learn together. You know, there weren't really any experts at creating church in the early church. No experts of people that told them, this is how you do it. If you want to read experts on the church today, there's a whole lot of books and a whole lot of speakers that can tell you how to do church. But these were just people that were listening. In fact, Jesus had said the experts in the synagogue didn't do it right. So they're simply living into what does it mean to be this people gathered into this community that are supposed to love each other. They're simply folks that were faithful to the next step as it rose among them. They listened for God's leading and they followed step by step, doing the next thing. As I said, sometimes they got it right on the money. Other times they struggled, but they just kept listening. They were enough to do this work of establishing Christianity and the early church, work that carries on to today. As the Holy Spirit broke out among people, the miracle of God was evident. People saw the wonder of the miracles, seeing the power of God at work, yet they didn't understand. And so Peter and the others named the wonder of what God was doing, said, this is God at work. And people were drawn to God and joined this gathering of the early church, this emerging community of God. And the gathering of folks rapidly became a community of folks that loved one another and expressed their care and concern for each other. The same Spirit is present with us today. The same Spirit is present and works with us in the same way, inviting us to respond as the early Christians did, both in naming the wonder and in love. And in simply doing the next thing that is ours to do. It's about how we listen together and follow. How we as a community are faithful to say yes and go together. Listening, loving, embracing one another. Let us wait in hope and worship as we listen to God who is present. I invite you to center into silence. Send out of the silence, if God speaks to you, a message that is for all of us, I invite you to share that with us, that we might hear what God is saying directly to our spirits this morning in this place. Let us listen.